From WHQR Public Media in Wilmington, North Carolina, this is Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. It was a surprise to WAVE transit officials and to some fellow commissioners when Julia Olson-Bozeman, vice chair of the New Hanover County's board, made a motion to end the county's agreement with WAVE. Not only was the item not on the agenda, Olson-Bozeman dropped the motion at the end of the regular board meeting during the part of the meeting entitled Additional Items. Commissioner Patricia Kusek quickly seconded the motion, forcing it to a vote. It passed with a 3-2 majority. One of the dissenters, Chairman Jonathan Barfield, said during the brief discussion, it's not often he feels this way during a county meeting, but he said he felt sick to his stomach. It's a controversial move. The Cape Fear Public Transportation Authority, also known as WAVE Transit, came into being in 2004. It was a joint effort by the City of Wilmington and New Hanover County to cooperate on a public transit system. What the purpose of the enterprise was, whether to serve residents in need, the elderly, disabled, or poor, or whether officials at the time hoped to see the system grow and attract choice riders, appears to be an open question. Commissioner Olson-Bozeman tells WHQR she knows and understands citizens need readily available transportation, but she says WAVE Transit has problems, long wait times, routes that have very few riders, and system officials asking for more money each year to do the same things. There's no innovation, says Olson-Bozeman, in meeting the needs of the community. But to be clear, the commissioner's recent vote has no impact on the current services of WAVE Transit. The City of Wilmington provides most of the local money to WAVE. This year, that amounts to about $1.4 million. The county contributes just under $331,000 as part of this year's budget. The county will do that again next year. In an email to WHQR, New Hanover County's Jessica Loper says the county purchases paratransit services from WAVE through the Department of Social Services and the Senior Resource Center, and that will continue as well. Any change to the county's funding of WAVE would not happen until July 2021 if, she writes, the county withdraws from the interlocal agreement. Today, we'll explore the purpose of WAVE as well as its recurring challenges and the criticism it's facing. Joining me now is Albert Eby. He's executive director of the Cape Fear Public Transportation Authority, also known as WAVE Transit. Albert Eby, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you, Rachel.
Also with us today, Beck Smith, chairman of the Transportation Authority's board. Welcome to the program, Beck Smith.
Thank you, Rachel.
We're inviting you to join the conversation during this live Thursday discussion. What would you like to know about mass transit? Do you think it's a money-losing boondoggle that officials should reinvent or do away with altogether? Call us during the live show at 910-343-1138 or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. What would it take for you to become a choice rider? Albert Eby, are there any municipalities, any cities or counties that have a public transit system that pays for itself in this country?
Not to my knowledge. And some would compare like the large systems in New York and Washington, D.C. and Philadelphia as systems that maybe a community like Wilmington could model. But those systems are more heavily subsidized by Federal Transit Administration than cities like Wilmington on a percentage basis. So transit is not a money-making business. It was going to require subsidy. If there was money to be made in the public transportation industry, the private sector would have figured it out how to do it by now, and there wouldn't be a need for it to be a government-subsidized entity.
Now, the biggest criticism probably that we've heard about WAVE Transit and the reason, one of the big reasons for withdrawing from the interlocal agreement, as Commissioner Julia Olson-Bozeman puts it, the finances aren't aligned to the point that you come back to the county to ask for more money to cover a gap in operations this fiscal year. That sounds like a planning problem. How did that happen?
We started this conversation several years ago. We realized that some of the funding from the federal government through the Department, in North Carolina Department of Transportation, was not going to be eligible any longer because we were moving from a rural to an urban area. as these discussions went on, they never really got anywhere because there wasn't the need for urgency. In March 23rd of this year, our board passed a resolution requesting the county commissioners fund Wave Transit through a vehicle registration fee that's allowed to them by the general statutes of the state of North Carolina. That item has never been taken up. We're still waiting, I think, for an answer. I think at this point we have a good understanding what that answer is. But it did start the discussion with both the city and county as to what they wanted to see transit in the future. So we've had these discussions. They've dragged on. The sense of urgency has continued to rise, and it's put us in a position where it's a very urgent situation now, but I'm not sure that we would be having the discussion if we hadn't gotten to this emergency situation that we find ourselves in now.
And tell us about that emergency situation in terms of how you're going to handle it in the short term.
Wave Transit, or the authority, is a local government, so we are required by the laws of the state of North Carolina to end the year with a balanced budget. We have come up with some plans to address that. That includes some cutting of services around the periphery. It also includes requesting additional subsidies from our funding partners. We'll be meeting tomorrow with the Wilmington City Council to discuss our requests. So there's also some things that are included in the state budget that still has not been passed that we cannot count on. So if the state budget does get passed, and eventually it may, even though we're in the middle of a biennial budget, it doesn't have to get passed. But there are some mini budgets, and we've seen some progress on that. So there's still some unknowns. Here we are almost halfway through our fiscal year. We don't know what we can expect from the federal government because they're operating under a continuing resolution. So our challenges are many with funding, especially as there's many funding partners in the political battles.
Beck Smith, as chair of the board, when we were talking earlier, you identified yourself as sort of, you know, the guy with the 30,000-foot vision. Where do you think Wave Transit needs to go?
Well, excuse me. Ever since I've been on the board, we've kind of been in the same kind of, as Albert kind of said, we're in a state of emergency right now, but we've had the exact same problems for ever since I've been on the board, where it's a matter of funding, where there's been the outside sources of funding have always been at risk of loss. We've never been funded at the local level like a lot of the other transportation systems are around the state and around the country. And I think we need to reach some understanding with our local funding partners of what they expect, what services they want to provide, and what they're willing to support to provide those, so that we aren't constantly every single year wondering if a certain grant is going to come through, which, you know, is a competitive situation that you get in with other transportation systems around the country. So,
now, one of the things that local officials, both staff and county commissioners, have made clear to us is that services for people who really need those services wouldn't go away no matter what happens. And Julia Olson Bozeman also tells us that she wants the community to understand changes in bus routes and service schedules, this emergency situation that you're in now, is the result of the way Wave has been managed and funding inconsistencies. And so, Beck, you've said you've had funding problems from the beginning. Is there a way to develop a model where you can identify a stable revenue source?
You know, and Albert may be able to speak to this better than I can, but it's been my experience since I've been on the board that we're always waiting for some amount of funding to come in from either a state or federal appropriation, and it's a constant state of limbo. And then you have a lot of issues come up, which thankfully we've been able to improve a lot of these with our aging fleet. We've been able to modernize our fleet so we don't have all the maintenance contingencies that we've dealt with the past 3 or 4 years, where it was a constant state of buses breaking down and increases in overhead. So we've really been trying to kind of fight to stay the status quo, and with very very modest increases in the budget over the time that I've been on the board, as you know, funding has not increased by any stretch. So,
what would be so wrong with WAVE going away, except for the bare minimum? You know, meeting the needs of the people who really need this, like people with disability, paratransit, or seniors in the community. Let's say those needs are met, but WAVE, as we know it, goes away and stops trying to grow choice riders. Albert Eby.
I'm not sure we're necessarily trying to grow choice riders at this point. I think we're still trying to meet the minimum need that the community has. And it's not just the disabled. It's not just the elderly, although they are a large portion of those that need transportation subsidies. It's the folks without access to the car. It's the folks that are economically challenged, that are doing everything they can to get to work, that are working two jobs just to provide for their family. So I wouldn't necessarily agree that there is a bare minimum of what we need to do. Certainly getting folks that are disabled to dialysis treatment and those type of options are of high importance, but everyone's important. Getting access to a job where you can provide for your family is of huge importance to our passengers that use it for that. And getting back to the choice riders, we're not funded to capture the choice riders right now. We're funded for the transit dependent. Our routes are, most of them, 60 minutes headways, and our opportunity to capture choice riders is very slim. Most folks that have opportunity in the car aren't going to walk a half a mile.
And I'm going to ask you more about that when we come back from this break. You're listening to Coastline. We're learning about the recurring challenges facing WAVE Transit in the Cape Fear region. When we come back from this break, we'll hear from some listeners. If you have a question about public transportation in the Cape Fear region, you can call us during the Live Thursday discussion at 910-343-1138 or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. New Hanover County commissioners recently approved a motion to withdraw funding from WAVE starting in 2021. It's a controversial move, but came in part, says Commissioner Julia Olson-Bozeman, because WAVE lacks a strategic plan and has misaligned revenues and expenses. WAVE Transit Executive Director Albert Eby and WAVE Board Chairman Beck Smith are with us today and answering your questions. You can call us during the Live Thursday discussion at 910-343-1138. You can also send an email to coastline@whqr.org. And just before we went to break, Albert Eby, you were talking about how WAVE is not even funded to grow the choice rider contingent. Tell us about this kind of built-in catch-22 that WAVE faces with choice riders, and how important are they to WAVE's revenue stream?
So to capture the choice riders, we would definitely need to provide more convenient service. It would have to be more often. Currently, someone would probably have to walk upwards of, you know, a mile to get to a bus stop. They may have to wait in an uncovered shelter area for a bus that comes every hour. In a good economy, we see ridership typically fall off. Low gas prices also affect transit ridership. So it's a paradox in a sense that until you provide more convenient service and the funding to support that more convenient service, the choice riders are going to typically stay away from transit because it doesn't offer the type of service that they can rely on to get them where they go, where they need to go, when they need to go.
When we talk to candidates who are running for local elective office, we often hear them talk about beefing up the public transit system as a way of implementing strategic growth initiatives. It's often held up as something that a growing urban area needs to attract more good economic development. Beck Smith, is that legit or is that just kind of hot air? Is the Wilmington area big enough to think that way yet?
I think we're still a little ways off from having a true choice rider model. I think, you know, there's quite a few people that have moved into Wilmington from larger, highly urbanized areas that see those models in effect. I think that our what we've been in the business of since I've been on the board is providing that transportation for the transit dependent. And I see that continuing. The one area where I think we'll begin to see some growth in that direction might be in the immediate downtown area surrounding. You know, a lot of people are very passionate about the downtown trolley, and maybe some routes that might link into there. And a lot of these younger folks now that are willing to sacrifice a larger living space to live right downtown in these small areas where parking is expensive. That might be truly the first generation that might use some of these, use our existing network and grow that choice ridership in the future.
Kim, on Facebook, we put some questions on Facebook for listeners, and a few folks have responded. And Kim says, spend the money making it an efficient mode of transportation. Give it a chance by adding choice riders, including tourists, will pay, I think. That's okay. At the end of the day, the city may still have to come out of pocket a bit, but it is an important part, she says, of any thriving city. We also just heard from Eric in Wilmington, who called in and said, spent a recent vacation at Seattle and was so impressed with all the public transportation available. Buses came every few minutes, so they utilized the bus services to get around and enjoy their vacation. But in Wilmington, Eric hardly even notices the buses around, despite Wilmington's growing population. Is this just a difference in scale between Seattle and Wilmington? Albert Eby.
Seattle and a lot of the cities on the West Coast have been more invested in public transportation than a lot of communities. I think part of it is scale, but I think more of it is the investment in public transportation, the investment in good air quality, the investment in the community that you would see in progressive cities like Seattle and Portland. A lot of it has to do with land use planning that Wave Transit has very little input in.
We've heard that officials, county officials, have made suggestions before to Wave Transit about, for instance, possible collaboration between Wave Transit and the new Hanover County school system. Has that possibility been explored?
We do offer passes. A lot of nonprofit offer passes, one-ride tickets for students of the school system. Federal requirements do not allow us to provide school bus transportation. So part of our agreement with the federal government to accept federal transit subsidies, we agree not to do school bus transportation. There are some exceptions, but at this point, we do not meet the exceptions.
And so when I'm looking at this list of inquiries from the new Hanover County Board of Commissioners for you guys, these are questions that have been posed to you that I think you'll present answers to on November 18th at
Correct.
The regular meeting of the new Hanover County Board of Commissioners. Is that question then just kind of a misunderstanding of what the possibilities are for Wave Transit? Because I hope I'm not projecting here, but it sounds like suggestions have been made and ignored. I mean, that's what it sounds like. Is that fair, Beck Smith?
I'm curious to look into that more, and I've spoken with Albert about it. It just like anything in government, it always seems like the best intentions aren't allowed. So if we could figure something out and help each other out, that would be great, and I'd be all for it. It's just a question of whether or not we can find a way to do that or not.
And I would disagree that it's a question that's been answered. That's the first time I've heard that question. And certainly we have not explored it because we know the regulations. So I think additional education is something that we need to work on. Unfortunately, the way that public transportation is funded in the United States, the complexity makes it very difficult to explain to elected officials in a very short period of time all the hurdles that we face when we provide this type of service.
Another question they have is what steps have been taken, how many employees, rather, of the hospital use Wave, and what conversations has Wave had with hospital staff?
We have very intensive service in and around the hospital area. Most of that is from folks that come to the hospital for medical appointments, treatments, that type of thing. We have had some very high level, two of our board members recently have had some high level discussions with the hospital. The challenge you face there is that unlike a taxpayer funded subsidy, you've got to have a commitment to that for a long term. Transit ridership on a route takes a long term to build. And once you provide it out to the community, you have to make sure that you can continue to fund it so they can rely on it. You really do a disservice to the public and you erode public trust significantly when you put a route out there and you pull it back, because those folks have counted on that route to get to work, to get to school, where they're going to live. And they have to be of the understanding that Wave Transit is going to be with them long term.
The county and the city have the authority to impose a special tax or levy to help fund Wave Transit. And there's been talk also of a quarter-cent sales tax in the county that would raise, would it raise $8.5 million a year, Albert Eby?
That's correct. And the way that the general statutes are structured, those abilities and that authority is granted to counties. There is some disagreement between the city and county as to whether the city has the ability to impose a vehicle registration fee. Our conversations with the city attorney are that he does not believe they have that authority. So obviously I'm not a lawyer, but until the city attorney believes that it's something that they can invest in, I don't see that as a possibility for the city. But we do know that the county does have that authority.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about some of the recurring challenges facing Wave Transit. With us today, Albert Eby, he's executive director, and Beck Smith, chairman of Wave's board of directors. You can call us during the live discussion on this Thursday at 910-343-1138. You can also send an email to coastline@whqr.org. Julia Olson-Bozeman, New Hanover County Commissioner, also says, feels strongly that we need to look at alternate methods of transportation for our community, focus on paratransit for seniors and others with mobility issues, and come up with a better model for mass transit. She also, in an interview, I think, with WWAY, raised the issue of other services like Uber and Lyft. And I don't fully understand what her point was in that, but it made me wonder if those services, Uber and Lyft, are siphoning off what would be a growing choice rider population for Wave. Beck Smith?
I think that it definitely is a factor, for sure, but not, I mean, a lot of our riders have a hard time sometimes affording the bus fee, and Ubers are probably 3, 4, 5 times more expensive than that. And if there was even some way to subsidize those as a local economy, that, I mean, those rides would cost a lot more money and it would garner a lot more use from transit-dependent people, which would be more expensive than the buses. Because let's face it, that is Uber and Lyft are the epitome of a convenience model. And the bus is in the opposite direction. So whenever you make something more convenient, a lot more people are going to ride it.
Right. Kurt writes, admit that public transit isn't something most Wilmingtonians support and cut the losses. And this leads to the commissioner's discussion of ghost buses. You know, and we've heard this from more than one commissioner. You see these giant buses driving around the city and you see 2 or 3 people on it. And they just think about all the money that's costing for those 2 or 3 people riding that bus. What's your answer to that, Albert Eby?
I would dispute that the majority of Wilmingtonians do not support transit. And I would base that on a survey that was released earlier this week or late last week that said 66% of the public were against the decision by New Hanover County to pull out of the Wave Transit agreement. So I do think that there's support for public transportation. cutting our losses would mean the loss of a significant amount of federal revenue, billions of dollars a year that come to Wave Transit. And while some who are against taxes at every level might not support that, that doesn't mean that that tax money is going to go back in the pocket of taxpayers. It would just go to benefit Raleigh's and the Charlottes and the Houston, Texases of the United States, and we would lose out on our opportunity to provide at least a minimum of public transportation in the region.
You mentioned that poll from Public Policy Polling. This was commissioned by the New Hanover County Democratic Party. And knowing that, I went to look at the results with, you know, filtering it through. Okay, this is a Democratic commissioned poll. Public Policy Polling is a slightly left-leaning national polling organization. And as you say, found that 66% of respondents opposed withdrawing support from WAVE. In other words, they support it. But what surprised me about the poll was the political affiliation of the respondents, because it was pretty evenly split across the board. 38%, a majority of respondents, said they were Republicans, 37% said they were Democrats, and 25% said they were independent or other. A majority of respondents in this poll voted for Donald Trump, 46%. 44% voted for Clinton and 10% for someone else. So it looked to be a poll that actually kind of addressed the across-the-board partisan affiliation of this community. Do you often see this as being a partisan issue, Albert Eby?
Unfortunately, when it comes to the funding portion of it, I think it's a partisan issue. But when you get down to the folks, Wilmington's a very benevolent community. We don't have a high transit-dependent population. We've seen over the last 20 years or so a significant amount of gentrification in the community that has pushed the transit-dependent further and further out to where land is a little bit less expensive or significantly less expensive. So we do believe that the community supports public transportation, even though they may never use it, because they know that it does provide congestion relief. They know that it does provide the opportunity for folks to move the economic engine through the workforce, through hospital and medical support services, and through educational opportunities.
And I'd like to add, I mean, I talk to people, and I think everybody, I'd echo that sentiment that everybody agrees on the need for it. The only disagreements come on, you know, some of these far-reaching buses like you talk about, where people don't really understand the route structure. And that's why we need to have a conversation locally, because these concerns, they haven't just popped up out of nowhere. It's been for 7 years. It's been these same exact concerns. So we just need to get to the bottom of it and come to some consensus and move forward so that we're not always on the chopping block. If the consensus is, hey, pull back a bit, maybe add a couple routes, go, you know, work on the convenience model, that's something that we'll definitely look into. But we need a local partnership. We don't. I feel like everybody talks about it and then doesn't show up on election day. It's kind of like one of those things where everybody has their own two cents, but then nothing ever changes. And we need to get past that. And actually, if we need to change our model slightly so that we don't have these same discussions over and over and over every year, then let's have those discussions.
So what would you like to say to the commissioners? Because it does sound as, I mean, it sounds like the commissioners feel they've made suggestions that haven't been explored, much less implemented. And Albert Eby, you've expressed, well, there are federal requirements, for instance, that prohibit us from providing service to the New Hanover County school system. So, and you've said also a couple of times, this is an education issue, education for not just the public, but elected officials who don't understand what's hamstringing you. How can you change the model so that it's more workable and so that they feel like they can do better planning and not wind up with a $775,000 deficit in the middle of the year?
Our planning process is very thorough. It meets the requirements of the Federal Transit Administration. We do a short-range transit plan every 5 years. Our first short-range transit plan after the authority was created in 2004 was completed in 2009. When we implemented changes based on that plan, we changed routes and a model that had been in place since 1974. every year since then, or every 5 years since then, we've done another short-range plan, and we've made small changes to that large change that we made back in the early 2000s so we can continue to meet the needs of the community. Unfortunately, our planning process says you don't need to go backwards. There are lots of areas that are unserved or underserved in the Wilmington community. So it ends up being just a large wish list of things that we could do to make it more convenient, that we could do to capture more choice riders, that we could do to support the businesses that are along the lines that we don't currently serve that would benefit the community.
How much would you need to, if you did just have a pot of money and you could set this up so that you had a contingent of choice riders and you had the kind of convenience in terms of frequency of buses and in terms of routes, what would that cost?
We would have to probably triple our budget just to provide 20-minute service along the routes that we currently serve, which we know are underserved.
And what's the whole budget?
Our budget currently is about $8.5 million.
And most of that comes from the federal government?
The majority does come from the federal government. We're innovative at Wave Transit. We get a large subsidy from UNCW that's not directly attributed to student transportation. So every student is assigned a fare, and what's left over we use as local match. That's less money that has to be brought from local governments. We've got a great relationship, and the city of Wilmington has been very supportive of Wave Transit. We provide service to northern Brunswick County, which is part of the urbanized area, and the folks over there, Leland and Navassa and Brunswick County, have been very supportive, as well as Carolina Beach. We also have an advertising program that brings in significant figures a year. We allow Greyhound to come to Fordham Station, and they pay us $50,000 a year just for the use of our bus slips, and we sell the tickets for them. So we're as innovative as any transit system that I am aware of.
You're listening to Coastline. It's a look at the future of Wave Transit and the challenges they currently face, the opportunities there might be. If you'd like to ask your own question or make a comment on this Thursday, you can call us at 910-343-1138 or send us an email at coastline@whqr.org. When we come back from this short break, we'll have one more segment for you to get that question or comment in. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline. Listening to Coastline, that's new. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. New Hanover County Commissioners voted in October to withdraw funding from Wave Transit starting in July 2021. The Public Transportation Authority has always struggled to find funding, but now Wave Transit officials have to make their case to the county. Wave Transit's Executive Director Albert Eby and Board Chair Beck Smith are with us on this Thursday and answering your questions. You can either email us at coastline or at whqr.org or call us at 910-343-1138. It is the last segment, so just a few minutes left to get your question or comment in. Albert Eby, is there a divergence? Is there a gap between what the city expects of Wave and what the county expects of Wave? Do you know who you're serving? What's your target here?
That is the largest challenge I think you would find in any regional entity, whether it's public transportation or housing or anything that's across regional lines. Elected officials are going to listen to their constituents, and one group of elected officials may listen to constituents that say we need more transit, and another group may say we need less transit. And to get them on the same page when it comes to regionalism is often very challenging. So we want to know what the community wants. That is usually told to the elected officials. Sometimes those are diametrically opposed.
We heard from Ethan in Wilmington who says, I see a lot of large buses around town. They're often not very full. Why not use smaller and more affordable equipment and then increase their frequency to reach more people? So are those smaller buses less costly than those large buses?
That's a very good question. And part of our current public relations campaign is to answer questions like that, because a lot of folks in the community have that question. And the answer is we use a vehicle that's made for what we use it for. I guess the best analogy would be the city of Wilmington doesn't go around and pick up trash in a pickup truck. We wouldn't use a vehicle that's not made to be a bus as a bus. So we buy what's considered heavy-duty vehicles. They're made to run 16 hours a day. They're made to cool down quickly after the doors are open on a very hot day. Smaller buses are typically a body on chassis, so it would be a Ford vehicle that's used for ambulances or wreckers or box trucks, not made for the rigors of transit unless it's something like a church bus that is used on longer trips and not used to stopping and having the heating and cooling issues we would have. So it does cost the same, believe it or not, to operate a very large bus and keep it longer than it would be to operate smaller buses, which would be less reliable.
And I'll add to that, that was one of the big things, educational points when I got on the board. And that's a very common question that people ask. And we do, wherever possible, try to, you know, some of the smaller routes in and around UNCW or some of the routes that don't run as long during the day, use the smaller buses. But during the heat of the summertime, when you tax those small buses, they are always breaking down, and that's one of our biggest complaints, is the AC units always go out on them because they're not commercial vehicle AC units. They have a lot of overheating problems, and they just don't last as long. So the return on investment is not necessarily what you think it would be, the difference between the two.
John Doe writes, I do not support getting rid of wave transit. I had car trouble and had to ride a ride for about 4 years. I loved riding the wave. I was able to read and study for classes. If the wave system was not up and running, I would not have been able to attend school for 3 years and work for a whole year. It's sad that this is in jeopardy. The state should provide affordable public transportation for all major cities. If you can't build a subway, the bus is the only other option. Yes, it was terribly late. Sometimes, he writes, I would have to wait an hour to get on the bus, but it was all I had. So not a choice rider at that point. This is the contingent that you're talking about, Albert Eby, that WAVE serves.
That's correct, and that's true for so many of the transit dependent. And he used it to better himself so he could get employment, but he said he used to use it. He probably progressed to a job where he can afford a car now. But so many folks are dependent on what we do. And it's not just the economically challenged. It's those who can't drive, who choose not to drive. It's the disabled. It's the elderly who may be intimidated here in Wilmington. But we provide a very important service that really needs the community support. And that's why we're here, to continue to press the issue for public transportation in Cape Fear region.
Heather writes, I used the buses for many years out of necessity rather than choice. I was very appreciative of that affordable transport. However, I agree that WAVE does not and likely will not in the future get choice riders. What about a commuter rail? Expensive, but more appealing to the population at large.
Fair question. Commuter rail currently, light rail in Charlotte, they just recently had some. They were doing a study up in the Triangle. It's well over $125 million per mile.
To build,
yes. And that doesn't even include the operation. So certainly a city like Wilmington or a region like southeastern North Carolina would not warrant that type of investment from the federal government.
So going back to the finances here, WAVE is supposed to maintain an 8% minimum fund balance, and that's according to a 2015 amendment to the interlocal agreement. That amendment says the county and city will create the balance initially, and then it's up to WAVE to maintain it. Have you ever had that 8% minimum fund balance, Albert Eby?
When the fund balance was first established, it was less than the 8%. So no, we have never had it. There was a period of 3 years through our independent single audit that we have grown the fund balance, and we would certainly like to grow the fund balance today. Unfortunately, you get to a situation like we are now, and you have no other choice but to use the fund balance as a tool to balance the budget when additional revenues aren't available.
And so it's zero fund balance right now?
Right now, the fund balance is about $450,000.
Which equals what percentage?
About a half a percent. So 5%. So, yeah. So it's less than the 8%, but there is still fund balance available, yes.
And so you can understand then you know, we've heard the challenges about getting funding and how there's not an identifiable revenue source that's stable. You always have to sort of come to the federal government and local government with hat in hand, it sounds like, each year. But how can you make that more, well, stable, Beck Smith? You've talked about providing a product that people will pay for. How do you do that?
It's almost where the point that we are right now, I think even any bad news that comes along or lack of interest in funding is better than no news at all or a disinterest in discussing it, because that at least gives us a direction to go. Because right now we're an overloaded plane. You know, we're on a glide path. We're eating our, you know, we're losing altitude. So if, you know, if there's a direction to change route structure, realign it somewhere, make it more of a convenience model, you know, we want guidance. And with that guidance, hopefully will come local funding to do what they see as the vision going forward. So, I mean, I think that...
Which right now are divergent between the county and the city.
Which is somewhat divergent. I think that it's not completely divergent. I think that, you know, there's some concerns on each side that we just need to talk through. I think there's probably more commonality than most people realize. We just need to get together and solve these problems, knowing that the federal and state funding cannot continue to play as large of a part as it is now. I mean, heaven forbid the next economic downturn and that funding gets pulled further.
Marjorie of Hampstead says she's been a bus rider for 18 years in a previous state that in which she lived. She says riding the bus is a habit. Has WAVE thought about implementing creative ways to establish bus riding as a habit for residents? Maybe a program, she says, where if riders ride for 10 days, they could get 5 days free. Interesting creative idea. Albert Eby, what do you think?
We're always looking for creative ideas. We're active in associations with the state transit providers through the North Carolina Public Transportation Association, as well as nationally. So we look for trends. We look for ideas that come from other communities that are successful. But when you're dealing with an issue like a subsidized agency, it makes it much more difficult because we don't have revenues that we can give up necessarily to provide incentives without taking away from the core services that we provide.
When we look at the numbers that are specifically funded by the county, the routes that are funded by the county and how that's broken up, and this is according to New Hanover County officials, these are unaudited numbers. The county gives you $304,780. But the routes, according to your numbers, that the county funds cost about $253,000. There's a gap there. Where does the extra money go?
So there's never been a clear delineation between what the county gives us, what the city gives us, and what those funds go to. We use local funding to leverage as much outside funding as we can get. So if the county gives us a certain portion of money, one argument that's made by some is that everybody in the city is in the county, so the county should be responsible as well for providing public transportation in the city. Whether that's the county's understanding of how WAVE was created is a matter of opinion. It's not written anywhere that the county's going to give us X amount of dollars, and those X amount of dollars are for X provision of service. So that's probably our biggest challenge, is to use the money wisely enough to leverage the maximum amount of federal and state money we can get while still in protecting what the county thinks that the money is going to provide.
And so this chart that I'm looking at from New Hanover County that has the fixed route number and description and then the fiscal year 19 funding allocated, those are just random dollar amounts next to routes. Like, there's no way to link the dollars to the routes.
I'm not sure that they're random, but that's the way that the county has said they would like the money to be allocated when they give it to us.
Okay.
There's no clear understanding of that being the case, and some other funding partners may believe that the funding should be allocated differently. Typically, it's been the case where they gave us the funding and said, you know, here's your basic structure of routes, you know, leverage the most money you can, and that's what we've been able to do.
And I'll add that what you're looking at, I believe, is when most people look at that, it's very misleading because you look at some routes and it's like, oh, this route is profitable. Oh, this is a very low performing route. But then you look at, I mean, that funding source is coming from somewhere, and it's just certain routes have more allocated to them than other routes, and some routes have higher ridership than others. So again, it's just a public perception of looking at something as efficient versus not efficient. It doesn't necessarily jive with the typical, you know, when you're looking at profit versus nonprofit.
So there are so many factors that go into this. You can't really tease apart the dollar amounts from the individual routes.
Well, the best example would be, say someone's on a New Hanover County route, but they ultimately end up at the hospital. Where should those subsidies go? To an imaginary line where the city and the county are divided. We've got some fixed routes that serve primarily in the city of Wilmington, but they may go up Gordon Road, for example, which is in the unincorporated area of the county. So trying to develop a formula would be very difficult. And then trying to ensure that formula is met would be even more difficult without somebody actually following that passenger around everywhere they went.
You mentioned the downtown trolley earlier, and Beck, I think you suggested that as possibly maybe the seed of growing choice ridership in this more urban and densely populated area. That downtown trolley is free to riders. So how would that work in terms of growing choice ride? What does that cost Wave to provide that?
I'd have to defer to Albert on the actual cost of it, but you know, there's been a lot of discussion on whether or not we charge for the trolley or the trolley is free. What a lot of people don't understand is it actually costs quite a bit of money to take money in the form of fare box revenue. And we want to, if you want to boost ridership, obviously the freeway is kind of the best way to go. And then the challenge, or what I'd like to see, what we all are trying to do, is get some sort of a buy-in from the downtown community that they all really want the trolley and they want as robust of a system as possible. But we need to find some way to figure out how to get some additional funding for that.
And as I think downtown stakeholders paying for it, perhaps downtown
if there's some
businesses.
Way, we've been looking at several different ways that, again, innovative, maybe fun ways in advertising to do that. And then as far as...
Because right now downtown businesses don't contribute to that downtown trolley.
To some degree they do. So we had, in the last year we've worked, or maybe it's a year and a half, we've worked with downtown interest groups, the downtown businesses, residents of Old Wilmington, WDI, several groups to come up with a way to make the trolley program better. And the trolley is a program that is certainly an out-of-the-box type initiative that we run. If we can make the trolley successful, why couldn't we do something like that over at Mayfair, where folks may drive to Mayfair, they may park in a lot, but they would use the trolley to get around to the businesses, to get to the other side of Military Cutoff. So we had a new trolley delivered today. The trolley has recently been renamed the Port City Trolley. There'll be a ribbon cutting for the new vehicle as well as the new route that goes all the way down to South Front on the 25th of this month. So we're excited about it, and we're trying to think of creative ways like this that we can reinvent transit so it may not be a fixed route that captures choice riders, but it may be a more intensive type program that we offer in areas of high congestion or parking challenges.
And that's this edition of Coastline. Albert Eby, Beck Smith, thank you both so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Coastline's producer is Caitlin Freund. Technical director is Ken Campbell. News producer is Rachel Keith. Coastline is a production of WHQR Public Media. If you missed part of this episode, look for it at whqr.org. Get the podcast, find it on the HQR app, or just tune in for the rebroadcast Sunday afternoon at 3. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.